We've got a couple of announcements to make today, and then I'll stay here to make some remarks as well and take some questions. But effective today, Dayton Moore will be leaving the organization, and J.J. Piccolo will be effective immediately responsible for the baseball operations of the Kansas City Royals.
And with that, the Kansas City Royals and Dayton Moore have parted ways after he spent 17 years with the club. More on that, and Brian Heaney, the voice of the undefeated KU Jayhawks, will join us. But first, we throw it to Dusty for local sports, including our most recent Athlete of the Week.
Yeah, Beloit senior Logan Arrowsmith has been named the NCCastSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Arrowsmith had a huge game Friday night, helping lead the Beloit football team to their first win of the season. Trojans won 52-8 over Republic County. Arrowsmith carried the load with 297 yards and 27 carries and 5 touchdowns, all of which were career highs. On the season, Arrowsmith has now rushed for 399 yards on 59 carries, good for 6.8 yards a carry. He also has 6 touchdown runs this season. He's coming off of a junior year in which he ran for 525 yards and 6 scores. So through 3 games this season, he has already matched his season touchdown mark from 2021. Congratulations to Beloit senior Logan Arrowsmith, the NCCastSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. We need your help in finding the Athlete of the Week. For more information, visit NCCastSports.com. We'll announce winners each week, and you can nominate an athlete from any school sport. Also at NCCastSports.com right now, you can find the latest Kansas Volleyball Association rankings. Beloit is number 3 this week in Class 3A, and 2A Smith Center is up to number 5. 1A Division 1, Sylvan Lucas is number 9, and at 1A Division 2, St. John's Tipton is number 4. The full rankings for the KVA are posted at NCKSSports.com. High school sports coming up today. The cross-country teams in the area will be competing as the Southeast Saline Invitational is first on the docket at 3:45 this afternoon. Lincoln from the area competing there. Osborne hosting an invitational at 4 o'clock this afternoon with the host school Osborne or Lakeside St. John's, Smith Center, Sylvan Lucas, and Thunder Ridge. And the Beloit, Concordia, Pike Valley, and Southern Cloud cross-country teams will be the Republic County Invitational in Belleville at 4 o'clock this afternoon. High school volleyball, Marysville at Concordia tonight with the NCKL action starting at 5:15 for that first girls varsity match. We also remind everybody to tune in for our high school football locker room chats tonight on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com as we will talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. If you ever miss our locker room chats, you can go back and listen to them online again at the Locker Room Chat podcast at katycountry94.com.
As we mentioned at the top of the sports ticket, the Royals have parted ways with Dayton Moore. Royals owner John Sherman made the decision to fire Moore, who was the president of baseball operations for the team this season, after being the general manager from 2006 to 2021. Moore's successor, J.J. Piccolo, who is 51 years of age. Dayton Moore is 55, by the way. Piccolo was the GM, technically, in 2022, and has now been handed the reins of taking care of all of the baseball operations. John Sherman, one of the main owners for the Royals, on what he expects from a GM and president.
This job, from my perspective, is all about evaluating, selecting, and developing talent and getting the most out of that talent. And, you know, and selecting can come in the draft, it can come via trade, it can come through free agency. You know, I think for a team like ours, free agency tends not to be the path of choice, but it's to get that talent and to get the most out of that talent and to develop it in a way that it's either going to perform on the field here for us or it will be traded to others to bring back players that make the team stronger.
Of course, Dayton Moore helped build the Royals up from a perennial 100-loss team to back-to-back American League champs in 2014 and 15 and that World Series championship in 2015, but the Royals fell back in their losing ways after 2015, no winning seasons the past 7 years. And the Royals' record in 2022, 59-89, heading into the game on Wednesday night, was the last straw for Sherman as the team didn't progress as he and others expected.
If I reflect back on, you know, our progress in 21, where we thought, you know, people were in their own development, you know, the mix of veterans and young talent we had, I think we felt like we were a team that, you know, might dance around 500, and I that's kind of a, I don't know what that range means, but, you know, make progress. You know, Dayton always tends to talk in terms of what a championship team looks like, and that's a great conversation, but I'd like to know what a wild card team looks like first. And I think that if anybody knows, Kansas City Royals fans know, if you can get a wild card slot and you can get in the dance, anything can happen, right? And that's about, again, keeping our fan base engaged late into the summer and hopefully into October. But I thought that, I mean, a lot of reasons. We got off to a slow start. Some veterans didn't perform offensively out of the blocks. Some of the pitching perhaps hadn't developed. But I thought if everybody showed up as expected, you know, we might have a chance to hover around 500.
Sherman also noted where his team has been and where they have been drafting lately.
Not only am I tired of losing, I'm actually tired of picking high in the draft. And that's, you know, that's a consequence. I mean, I'm glad we have Bobby Witt. I'm glad we have MJ Melendez and Nick Prado and these other folks. But, you know, those teams I just described, you don't have to have one of the top five picks to build your team and improve your team. In fact, so I'm kind of joking about, but we want to win baseball games. And if we're picking lower in the draft, that's fine with me. But it also challenges you, I think, when you're winning more consistently, to make sure you're filling the back end of the pipeline so you can stay competitive.
And with Dayton Moore being fired, there will be certainly questions about whether or not manager Mike Matheny will stick around for next season, and probably questions about pitching coach Cal Eldred as well. Owner John Sherman wasn't asked directly about Matheny, but he was asked if there would be changes, and here was his response.
I think there will be, but I don't want to get in front of JJ on that. We're doing this today or yesterday, and he's going to work. He's meeting with his direct reports today. You know, there's some processing here of emotions, certainly, but JJ is on this, and I really, you know, his obviously bittersweet for a lot of people here, but he's stepping up, and he didn't sleep much last night. Let's just put it that way. The wheels are spinning. And so I think I would encourage you to talk to him, maybe give him a little bit of breathing room on the decisions. But I would expect that he will have some things to talk to you about as the season winds down here.
And to his credit, Dayton Moore, highly respected and certainly a man of much class, was present for the press conference announcing his firing. And Sherman noted Moore's presence at the press conference on Wednesday.
I appreciate the way Dayton, he's a remarkable person, very few like him in sports or anywhere else. Pretty unusual for someone in his position to be here to kind of be in this in meetings. So I would just reiterate the gratitude that I feel that I have for Dayton, not only what he did for this franchise, but how he did it and the person that he is.
And the outgoing president of baseball operations for the Royals, Dayton Moore, offered some parting words.
John, I've just so much gratitude and appreciation for you and your leadership and your friendship as well. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you. It's been great getting to know a lot of you, know your stories as well as you seek our stories. But we've become friends, and I can't say enough about the great support of this community, our fans, our sponsors. Everything that makes Kansas City special is what we've always tried to represent. And I'm very proud of what we've accomplished here. I'm very proud of our culture, and I'm really excited about the future of the Kansas City Royals. I've known J.J. Piccolo since he was 21 years old. He's an incredible leader, and as I've mentioned before, he's more than prepared to lead the baseball operations department in a very innovative and productive way. I'm proud that he's continuing to get this opportunity as well. But so many people to thank, and I can assure you, at the appropriate time, I will have that opportunity. And I look forward to thanking each and every one of you and many people in this organization and around baseball. And I will do that personally. I will take time to do that. That's important because that's what makes the game strong. What makes the game strong is relationships, people believing in one another. And that's what we've always tried to do. And this is a powerful group. John Sherman is a great owner. And he's going to do wonderful things for this city. In baseball, when you don't win enough games, change sometimes is required. It's a part of it. And we know that, and we accept that. And everything in life is for our learning, and I will continue to learn through this as well. But I'm thankful for John, as he mentioned, Mr. K, everything that he started, everything that Mr. Glass and Dan Glass and their family did in that journey as well, and handed it off to John Sherman, who's going to steward the organization in a very strong and also a very innovative way, and in a leadership minded that is truly best for the Kansas City community. So thank you. God bless each and every one of you. Proud to be called a Royal, and just thankful for my time here in Kansas City. So we'll see you down the road. Thank you.
So I have to admit, we've talked about this for a while on the Sports Ticket this year, that the Royals, many people believe that they needed a clean house. And many people believed, including myself, that Dayton Moore would probably be allowed to go out on his own terms, whether that'd be good or not, I don't know. But that was the thinking. He's only 55. Maybe they let him see things through. Maybe there'd be some changes in the minor leagues and development and with some staff. But Dayton Moore would be allowed to be the top dog in the organization, which last year he's technically president of baseball operations, and J.J. Piccolo stepped up to be the full-time GM. But make no mistake about it, all the decisions had to go through Dayton Moore. And so many people still called him the general manager. Now J.J. Piccolo will be the guy, one less person to try to run something by with Dayton Moore out of the equation. And I thought Dayton Moore would go out on his own terms. And in some ways, you would like to have seen him do that. You know, Ned Yost was able to retire under his own terms. And we've seen other players for the Royals. You know, Alex Gordon was able to go out on his own terms and stay with the team. But you have to give a lot of credit, I think, to the owner, John Sherman. He saw what a lot of fans saw, and that was, we are not making progress. We haven't had a winning season since 2015, and it's time to move on. But before we get into what didn't go right the last 7 years, you know, from this Royals fan, I would like to thank Dayton Moore. Dayton Moore did what I thought was impossible, and that was turn a laughingstock of a baseball organization, the Kansas City Royals, when he arrived in 2006, where the Royals were so bad at what they did and were so cheap that they would actually draft players based on slot money, and they would try to save money and draft players that would cost them less instead of just drafting the best player and then working out a deal. Allard Baird had to be the GM before Dayton Moore with his hands virtually tied behind his back, so he was not set up for success. But when Dayton Moore came in, David Glass, the Glass family, told Dayton Moore, listen, we're tired of losing. We want you to lead this team where you see fit. Dayton Moore was highly respected in the Atlanta Braves organization, came to Kansas City, and certainly Dayton Moore did his job. I want to thank Dayton Moore for all the memories of 2014, watching the Royals make it in the playoffs and the exhilarating come-from-behind victory in the wild card game. I was there personally to witness it, and it's the greatest sporting event I've ever attended. And I've attended Final Fours. I've attended World Series games as well on 14 and 15, but that game was right there at the top of any game I've ever seen in person. It was awesome, even though I was at the very top of the stadium behind home plate and could see Arrowhead's parking lot behind me. We were ways away from the action, but we still see it fine. It's worth every penny to be at the wild card game. And then, of course, also the Royals making it all the way to Game 7, the World Series in 14. Then in 2015, a lot of people, including myself, thought that was the Royals' shot. They didn't get done against Madison Bumgarner in Game 7, 90 feet short of tying the game and maybe forcing extra innings or winning the game. Come back in 2015, have the best record in American League, go on to win the ALDS over the Astros, get to see that clincher there in Kansas City with Johnny Cueto in Game 5. Then, of course, the Royals won the ALCS over the Blue Jays. Got to share that with my son at the time, who was 9. Great memories there. Royals getting out of bases loaded jam in the 9th inning by Wade Davis after a rain delay earlier when Ryan Matson served up a homer to Jose Bautista. You didn't want to go 7 games. And Eric Hosmer, of course, with a single that Kane scored on all the way from first. Just unbelievable memories. That was the pennant clincher. And I got to say I was there for the celebration for the Royals to move on to the World Series for the second straight year. And of course, who can forget Game 1 of the World Series? Alex Gordon hitting a home run to tie that game in the bottom of the 9th, go on to win an extras, and that really set the tone for the Royals to win the World Series. Never forget those memories. Two of the greatest sporting events I've ever attended was the wild card game in 14 and then Game 1 of the World Series in 2015. And none of that would have been possible without Dayton Moore. So a huge thank you, Dayton Moore. Mad respect for Dayton Moore to be at the press conference announcing in essence, his firing. And for him to say what he did and to be so classy in the way he did it, he always has been a person of faith. He's always been a person that's handling himself in the best way. He's always went on sports talk shows and talked to media and talked to the fans, and he has not dodged questions too often, usually very, very available. And so I want to thank Dayton Moore for everything that he did and turned the Royals from a laughingstock into World Series champions that I never thought I'd see for the rest of my life. Having said all that, don't want to take anything away from Dayton Moore, but folks, it was time. Whether it was going to be now, whether it was going to be next season, whether it's going to be 2 years from now, it just didn't look like this team was progressing the way it needed to. And that's really the main reason why John Sherman made the decision to let Dayton Moore go. There's just too much losing. You know, we talked about the great years of 13, 14, and 15, three straight winning seasons. 13 made a run, 14 made the playoffs, got hot in the second half. If you remember, 2014, people wanted to fire Ned Yost. The Royals were 48-50. Dayton Moore, people wanted to fire him. Billy Butler said we were a second half team, and he proved to be right. The Royals got hot, made it all the way to Game 7 of the World Series, and of course winning it all in 15. But 13, 14, and 15 were the only winning seasons that Dayton Moore had as general manager and president of baseball operations for the Royals in his 17 years. 14 of the 17 seasons with the Royals were losing seasons. And in fairness to Dayton, you know, the first few, I mean, they were going to be, no matter who came in as general manager. But the Royals lost over 100 games three different times, twice since they've won the World Series. This year, on pace to lose nearly 100 again, and there was high expectations. But to me, the final straw was, and I think it was already there, but the story that came out in The Athletic about the lack of development with pitchers, it was a scathing article from The Athletic. And John Sherman said here in just the last couple of days, he, Dayton Moore, and J.J. Piccolo sat down and talked about various things. And the writing was on the wall. And this is simple. And I think Dayton Moore had the right idea. Sometimes you have a plan, it just does not work. You know, in 2018, the Royals loaded up on pitching in the draft. We tried to get college pitchers. And they loaded up on pitching in 2018, wanting to speed up the process of getting guys to the bigs and to compete for division titles and maybe make another run at a World Series championship. And on paper, it looks good, like most drafts do. Brady Singer, Daniel Lynch, Chris Bubich, Jackson Kowar, Jonathan Bolin. I mean, those are all pitchers that you thought, hey, this is the future. And then maybe sprinkle in a veteran or two, like in this case, Mike Minor last year, or this year, the Royals signed Zach Greinke. They also drafted Asa Lacy in 2020, and he's been an absolute train wreck. Jackson Kowar is maybe broken, hopefully not, but his confidence is gone. Chris Bubich is 2-13 this year as a pitcher with an ERA over 5. Jonathan Bolin was on track to make it to the bigs. He blew out his arm. That's bad luck. Daniel Lynch is a guy that should be an ace at some point, and he hasn't figured it out. His ERA is around 5, and he can't get through 4 or 5 innings. And the only guy that's panned out is Brady Singer. And Brady Singer, you know, I don't know if this is almost an accident, but the Royals knew when they drafted Brady Singer, he was a two-pitch pitcher. He didn't have a third pitch. And at the start of this year, Brady Singer, who is their best starting pitcher by far this year, they started him in the bullpen. And then Dayton Moore said later, he's too talented to be in the bullpen, so we're going to put him back in the rotation. It's like, so Chris Bubich was better than Brady Singer out of spring training and deserved the spot over Brady Singer? That didn't make sense to me then. It still doesn't make sense to me now. And that's just another example of how the Royals just didn't handle the pitching the way that they either should have or didn't develop it in the minors, didn't have the right people in place. The other thing too, folks, if you're a Royals fan, is since 2015, and we've joked about it, that everything that Dayton Moore touched in 14 and 15 turned to gold. Edison Volquez, Jeremy Guthrie, Chris Young, Nori Aoki, Alex Rios. I mean, everything that he did, almost every single move, worked out perfectly. Drafting Brandon Finnegan, helping out in the 14 playoffs, Luke Hochhaver going to the pen, being a really good setup man, Ryan Madsen resurrecting his career in 2015 after Greg Holland blew out his arm and at the end of 14, you know, trading and getting a Wade Davis and bringing him in. That was a great trade by Dayton Moore. James Shields, Wade Davis coming for Will Myers and others. That trade, along with the Zach Greinke trade, brought Lorenzo Cano, Cedric Escobar. I mean, those two trades, huge feathers in the cap for Dayton Moore. But after 2015, almost everything that Dayton Moore did, and we joked about at the time, it's like he somehow made a deal with the devil that please let us win a World Series. All these moves work out great. And every move from here on out, if it ends up not working out, I'm for it. And I've said before that the Royals, Listen, I want the Royals to be good every year. I'm a diehard Royals fan. Grew up with the Royals and remember the 80s when they were pretty good as well. Back in 85, won it all. 80 in the World Series and the playoffs in 84. But I've said this before. I could live with the Royals being bad for a while if that means they're going to win it all. If the Royals win it all every, 29 years and they only make the playoffs a couple times, I can live with that because I think I'd rather have a World Series championship and the memories of that than being a team that makes it to the playoffs a lot and not winning the World Series or even getting to the World Series. Now, some people differ with that, but I've always said, if you knew your team was going to make it to the playoffs 10 years in a row, but would never win the World Series, would you take that? Or would, if I told you your team's going to make the World Series one time in 10 years, the other 9 years are going to be rough, but you're going to win it all, which one would you choose? I would choose winning it all. Winning it all, because there's the ecstasy as a fan, being on that team that suffered through so many downs, you finally have the up. So the Royals had their up in 2014 and 15. But not many moves have worked out, especially on the pitching side since then. You look back, Yordan Ventura, Danny Duffy, those are the only starting pitchers that have developed during the Dayton Moore tenure. That's a course of 16, 17 years. And Yordan Ventura, that's questionable because he was still trying to figure things out. Danny Duffy, it was late during his time with the Royals when he started to figure things out. So you could almost say those two are a little bit of reaches. Jeff Montgomery made a very good point yesterday. He said that Dayton Moore, when he came on, he said it's going to take 7 or 8 years to turn this thing around. And he was right. But Jeff Montgomery also mentioned that loyalty may have worked against Dayton Moore, and I totally agree with that. You look back to 2016, after the Royals won the World Series in 15, we said it on the show, and sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. But it was pretty clear that Ben Zobrist was going to be the better fit for the Royals going forward, to re-sign him, even though he's a couple years older, and let go of Gordon because he was a declining player. But the thing is, Gordon was a all-time, he was a Royal his whole career. Zobrist was, kind of a rental player, but could have been here long-term if the Royals wanted him and wanted to pay him instead of Gordon. And we thought the Royals gave Gordon too much money to keep him around. And he'd had some injury problems, and Gordon wasn't the same player offensively, especially. And Gordon was not good offensively after that deal. The Royals gave him a whole bunch of money. And that, I think, was one of the examples that Jeff Montgomery's talking about with loyalty. The other thing is, he waited a while to make trades because of loyalty. Sometimes he didn't make trades that maybe he should have made. And the other thing that Dayton Moore did, and it's a great trait to have, loyalty, but he didn't make moves with his staff maybe as quick as other general managers would have. So, Dayton Moore did a lot of great things for Kansas City. No doubt he's been good for the community. He's been terrific for the Royals organization and bringing them a World Series championship. And listen, what he did is amazing. You think about what Bill Snyder did with K-State football. You see what Lance Leipold's doing with KU football. And you see what Dayton Moore did with the Royals to get them not the one World Series, but back-to-back World Series. And for all those people that say, well, that was a fluky World Series title, that's a bunch of BS. In 2014, was that a fluky run? Yeah, they were 48-50. They got hot and had the right matchups in the playoffs, rallied from four down against the A's. Was that fluky that they made it to game 7-14? I would say you might have a point. But 2015 was no fluke. And anybody that tells you that don't know what they're talking about. They're going off their memory banks and their memory is skewed. In 2015, the Royals were the best team in baseball from day one. In the American League, they had the best record. They had home field advantage. Did they catch a few breaks? Every team that wins a championship catches breaks. They caught a break when Carlos Correa couldn't come up with the ball cleanly and it went into the outfield. And the Royals rallied from a four-run deficit in the eighth inning to beat Houston to keep their season alive. Did they catch a break when Alex Gordon hit a home run in the ninth inning to tie the game in game one? No, of course, he hit a pitch out of the park, so he made it happen. Did the Royals catch a break when Kane scored from first on Hosmer's single in game 6 ALCS against the Blue Jays in 15? No, they didn't catch a break. That was the Royals' tremendous scouting, knowing what Jose Bautista does, which was a bad habit of throwing the ball automatically in the second. So, no, it was not a fluke that the Royals won the World Series in 2015. Yes, they didn't have the greatest starting pitching, but they had a tremendous dominant bullpen, which Dayton Moore is the one that put together. He also hired Ned Yost, and Ned Yost was a manager of two teams that made it to the World Series with the Royals. So if you compare Royals with other small market teams since 1985 or even since 2000, the Royals have more World Series appearances than almost all the small market teams, and they have, of course, one more title. So listen, can the Royals compete with the big market teams? Not all the time. Do they have to rebuild instead of reload like the Yankees and Dodgers? Yeah, that's true. But other teams are improving. We see the Rays kind of reload for the most part, maybe have a down year, but not horrible. We've seen other teams that have a few down years and then suddenly they're right back into it. Probably the exception would be the Pirates and it would be the Royals. And so Dayton Moore, God bless him for everything he did for Kansas City and the Royals, but it was time to move on. And so now you have to ask the question, what do you do now? Listen, I highly doubt Mike Matheny is going to be back. I really doubt that Cal Eldred will be back as pitching coach. If the problem is pitching, I don't know how you keep the pitching coach. J.J. Piccolo is going to make these decisions according to owner John Sherman. I think the Royals want a clean house. I think at the end of the season, you will see Mike Matheny and Cal Eldred let go. Maybe the entire staff for the most part. That's what many people expect now. I will say 24 hours ago, I didn't expect any of this to happen. Maybe Cal Eldred, but not Matheny, and definitely not Dayton Moore, because I just thought the Royals were going to let him go out on his own terms because of what he did in 14 and 15, which I thought was maybe a mistake. At the same time, I feel that it's a bummer that he didn't get to go out on his own way in his own terms. But at the same time, let's be honest, he and the Royals were not getting it done since they won the World Series in 15. Seven straight losing seasons and a couple of really bad years. And this year is supposed to be much better and on pace to lose 95 to 100 games. That's just not acceptable. John Sherman decided it wasn't. J.J. Piccolo agreed. And now J.J. Piccolo is going to be in charge to be the full-time GM and not have Dayton Moore to have to veto or okay the things. One less got to go through. And this will be interesting to see how the Royals move forward. But it doesn't look very likely that Mike Matheny will be back as manager or Cal Eldred pitching coach and maybe nobody on the staff. And for many reasons, that makes a lot of sense. And so who knows how you feel about Dayton Moore and what he did for the Royals. But I know I'm very thankful and appreciative of what he did and how he handled himself during his time in KC from 06 to 2022. Without Dayton Moore, there would be no World Series appearances in 14 and 15 and no World Series championships. So I'll be forever grateful to the man. Wish him nothing but the best in his future endeavors. At the same time, I'm happy the Royals have made this move and I'm excited and look forward to what the future holds for the Royals and where they want to go. If they do change managers, who they're going to bring in, you know, what's their philosophy going to be when they draft, and then what they're going to do in development and minors and try to develop pitchers, because they've got some good arms, but they just have not been able to develop them at the big league level, with the exception of Brady Singer. And we have basically a 1 year litmus test of Singer. This, a guy that was in the bullpen to start the year. That's how the Royals were on top of that. And then Singer's really taken off. So at least they've hit on one guy, it looks like. But Lynch, Bubik, Kowar, Bolin, Lacy, and others, Royals have drafted the last few years, Carlos Hernandez, they've got to, some of these guys got to pan out. And if they don't, well, then the Royals are starting back from step one. And if so, if you're going to start back from step one, you might as well, for the most part, clean house and start over. And maybe you can find some guys that can come in and make Daniel Lynch a number one or number two starter, can make Chris Bubich a very serviceable starter, maybe fix Jackson Kowar, maybe fix Asa Lacy, who can't find the strike zone in the minors. Maybe that's all possible. Certainly with the current system and the current organization people in it, that didn't look possible at all. And it was time to make a move, and John Sherman made the call. So I was encouraged by what he had to say. Tired of losing, tired of drafting high. And I want to see a wild card game. Sure, I want to see a championship, but I want to see a wild card game, or at least win a division title. And he's absolutely right. You got to get in the dance to win it all. And the Royals are nowhere close and haven't been since they won it all in 2015. That's the news off the field. But what about on the field? The Royals playing out the string here in 2022, continuing their three-game series with the Twins last night. With more on that, here's Dusty.
And Vinny hits a ground ball to Correa, and Salvi does the right thing, and yet the Twins may challenge whether Correa tags Salvi or not, but right now, as it stands, Bobby Witt Jr. scored as the Twins were trying to complete the play in between first and second. So if Salvi, by hitting the brakes, did the right thing, he took the rhythm and the flow out of the double play.
And the fact that they were pulled over on that right side for Vinny, there was nobody at second base to cover.
That run held up on the heads-up play for Salvador Perez. The Royals took a 5-2 lead in the seventh inning. They would go on to win by that final. MJ Melendez had a homer. Salvador Perez with an RBI double. giving the Royals a 2-0 lead in the first. They went up 3-1 on an RBI from Edward Olivares in the third. Twins got within 3-2, but Casey added two insurance runs in the seventh for the 3-run win. Anthony Misevich picked up his first win as a Royal, pitching a scoreless sixth, getting the first out of the seventh. Scott Barlow, a 1-2-3 ninth for his 23rd save. Royals manager Mike Matheny on what he saw from his team on an emotional day off the field.
It's always you're going to have stuff that comes up, and today was one of those days, and conversations we're having are, you know, we just got to go play the game and spend time. Don't completely put stuff away and don't address it, but have some conversations, and those need to be had. But we also got a job to do. Go do your job, and let's figure out a way to play the game really well that everybody'd be proud of.
Hey, the Royals have won their 60th game. They're now 60-89 on the season after the win on Wednesday night. The Twins dropped 73-76. Two teams are going to finish their season series this afternoon. Jonathan Heasley's 3-8. He's got a 5.09 ERA starting for the Royals against Josh Winder of the Twins, who's 4-4, 4.17 ERA. First pitch at 1:10 this afternoon. Again, the final matchup of the season between the Royals and Twins. Again, we will continue to follow the off-the-field notes for the Royals with the firing of Dayton Moore and J.J. Piccolo moving to being in charge of all the baseball operations. So stay tuned for all that. Once we know more about that, possibly with the new manager coming in, who knows what might happen with the Royals moving forward. But again, they are finishing out the final stretch of the season. They have now 13 games left in 2022. Couple other baseball notes. Searching for his 61st home run of the season, Yankee slugger Aaron Judge was held inside the park all night. He did double twice. The Yankees won 14-2 over the Pirates Wednesday night. The two doubles keep Judge in the running for a chance to win the AL Triple Crown, going 2-for-4. His current batting average is .317. He is tied with Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox at the top of the American League in batting average right now. He's all but wrapped up the home run and RBI portion of the feat. He has 23 more home runs than the closest, and again, rolling with the RBIs as well. And again, Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox really is current competition, winning that Triple Crown. Judge and the Yankees have 14 games remaining for him to continue to chase the record books, whether it be the 61 or 62 homers to pass Roger Maris for the most in American League history in a single season, or whether it be chasing that Triple Crown. The last time an MLB player won the Triple Crown was 10 years ago when Miguel Cabrera won it in the AL with the Tigers. We had talked about this last week, about the possibility for Judge to get that Triple Crown, and I don't know if I said anything last week about it, but I thought he might be ending up just a little bit short. But right now he's looking pretty good and tied for first with that batting average of .317. So we'll continue to track that as well. Albert Pujols continued to chase 700 home runs. He's been stuck on .698 in his career since hitting that number on Friday night. Didn't happen for him on Wednesday night either, so he stays at .698. The Cardinals have 12 games left for Pujols to hit two homers and become just the fourth player in MLB history to hit 700 career home runs. So again, we are tracking Albert Pujols. We're tracking Aaron Judge here at the end of the season because the Royals are not fun to track right now. So we're tracking all these other big-time stories and legendary moments that are happening here at the end of the 2022 baseball season. Well, finally here on the Sports Ticket, we have week 3 of the NFL season getting underway tonight. Thursday night football, the 1-1 Pittsburgh Steelers heading to Cleveland to take on the 1-1 Browns. Kickoffs at 7:15 tonight. Where can you watch it? Amazon Prime Video. Make sure you got Prime. And again, that's here to stay. Amazon Prime Video tonight, the Steelers and Browns. Again, a 7:15 kickoff from the Dog Pound in Cleveland. The Browns and Steelers in an AFC North matchup. Always a big rivalry game and a fun game there in the NFL. All right, that'll wrap this portion of the Sports Ticket. Coming back in 2 minutes, we'll be joined by Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, here on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com.